This podcast is sponsored by Kingsdown Meadow, located in beautiful Kent countryside. New homes available. Search Serenity Parks. Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Nicola Everett.
Hello, I hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, we've got news on a case at the High Court involving the use of a former Kent Army barracks to house asylum seekers and the phenomenon taking the art world by storm. But first, I hope you don't mind, we're going to flip the podcast on its head today and start with sport, because April the 14th marks 100 days until the Olympics get underway in Tokyo. The Games were postponed last summer because of coronavirus and will still be very different this year, with no one from overseas able to go and watch. Well, we've been catching up with some of the Kent athletes who are hoping to be there or indeed have already confirmed their place. First up is race walker Tom Bosworth from Sevenoaks. He's among those who have already qualified, and I started by asking him how he was feeling with the countdown well underway.
I'm training really hard at the moment, so I'm doing a lot of training in the heat chamber up at Leeds Beckett University, because we have got options to travel, but it's very difficult, and we're hoping to get some races in Europe, and so getting anywhere hot or high altitude right now is tricky because of travel. So we've opted to stay at home to try and do as much work as possible. So it's relatively business as usual.
How's lockdown been, though? It must have been obviously really disappointing, as it was for everyone, that the Games couldn't go ahead last year. How do you kind of refocus and get your head around that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I didn't over panic, really. I just kind of enjoyed what I could of last year. You know, for the last 10 years, I've spent most of my life away all summer and, traveling the world, which isn't a bad job to have. But it's like an opportunity to just enjoy myself and spend time with my dog, my fiance, gardening, you know, just being a bit of a normal person, which has been really, really lovely. So, I tried to not think about what was coming, because I don't think anybody knew really where we were going or what we were about to experience and for how long. So I just tried to begin winter training in October time last year as normal as possible, and try and create as normal a season and build up to an Olympic Games as possible in the circumstances.
Now, you, unlike some other athletes, seem to be in a very lovely position that you've got your letter confirming that you have got your place at Tokyo. Others haven't qualified yet. They're still going through that stage. What's it like when you receive that letter? I read it. It gave me goosebumps. I mean, and I'm not an athlete. I mean, what is it like when you open that envelope and you know you're going?
Yeah, it's really special, because I think there's different points in your career. For me, 5 years ago, qualifying for Rio was a huge achievement and relief and sort of a milestone. And you're kind of reminded that a little bit, even though when it becomes a bit more expected, I guess. And, it was expected of me to qualify and make the Olympic Games. But it's a reminder that this is a huge, huge achievement, just making the Games. And you know, only a handful of people can win medals. But there's hundreds of Olympians, and that really needs to be celebrated, and that's why I kind of put that letter on social media, to show people as well, like, how fantastic Team GB are at congratulating you and celebrating your achievement, because they recognize that. And that's why I'm looking forward to the Games, despite the world we live in right now, because I know Team GB will make a big deal out of each and every Olympian.
Yeah, it's obviously not going to be quite the same. You're not going to be able to have people travelling to see you. Have you thought much about that yet? Or do you kind of blank that side of it out anyway when you're competing?
Yeah, you do. You do blank all of that out, whether you're travelling to a country that it might be, plenty of places where you can't drink the water, you might have to source the right foods and that sort of thing. It might be really dramatically different from home. You just focus on what you can control in those circumstances. It's the same with whether you're trying to train or you've got an injury and you're rehabbing and you're being proactive in the decisions you're making. this is just an extreme version of that, I guess. You know, there is nothing we can do about it. We'll have to follow the rules, get the COVID tests. It just becomes part of the process to hopefully having a successful race. I'm really disappointed. Obviously, my family won't be there. We had such a great time in Rio, and the race was really, really special. And I'm, you know, you don't know how many Olympics you get. You might only get one. And I feel for anybody who this is their first and maybe their only games and can't celebrate with their family. But at the same time, everyone's family and friends will want them to be there and to go and achieve whatever they can, and we'll be celebrating from home.
Kate French from MEPM is hoping to qualify in the modern pentathlon. She's been speaking to Ish.
100 days, it's really exciting. It's going really fast now. And our competitions are underway again, which is really, really exciting. It's been a long wait. But preparations are going well. It was obviously a really long training block, in England as well, because normally we try and go away a bit. But things are going well. And I started well with the first two competitions, so I was really, really pleased. And now I've got a bit of a rest and, preparations start again for the next competition in, I think, 3 or 4 weeks' time.
Of course, we're talking about a delayed Olympics. How disruptive has this past year been for you?
It's not been the usual year building to the Olympics. There's been a lot of highs and a lot of lows. But as a squad, I think we've really pulled together since we've been allowed back to train, and really helped each other along, especially when one of us is down. Like, it's quite nice that we've been able to train together in a bubble. I think that's really helped.
You mentioned there a lot about your fellow athletes. Has it been that group still being able to still interact with them that's really helped you get back into a groove perhaps during your training whilst it's been so disruptive?
Yeah, definitely. It was really hard, not being able to train and being at home for so long. And I think we're very fortunate that a small group of us were able to train together. Because when you don't have any competitions or anything to train for, when you're by yourself, it's even harder. So being able to train with someone else, you've got someone to push you and keep you motivated as well. So it's definitely good.
And of course, you'll be hoping to compete in the modern pentathlon. What would it mean to you to be out there competing at the Olympics?
It would just be another dream come true. Rio was absolutely amazing to compete there. And I'd love to have another shot at winning a Olympic medal. Would be, amazing.
obviously, ongoing pandemic situation, that they've said that there'd be no spectators, and obviously there'd be various safety measures in place, extra testing for athletes. Does that take away some of the gloss of competing at the Olympics for you?
I don't think so. The Olympics is the pinnacle of the sporting competition, so it will never take away that. Coming away with a gold Olympic medal is still going to be the same. It is a shame about spectators. I think one of my highlights from Rio was having my friends and family there supporting me, and seeing them in the crowd was absolutely incredible, and being able to see them after I finished, it was really, really special. But I think a lot of people would are sacrificing that for the Olympics to go ahead. So I think, I can cope with that.
And finally, Gravesend based boxer Chevon Clark has one chance to qualify for his first ever games.
As you may know, the boxing road to Tokyo was originally being held in London, which would have been the first event we've had in the boxing cycle in England since I've been on the team. But, you know, that's because of COVID and safety, we've had to scrap that. And now there's only one opportunity to qualify.
Does that put extra pressure on them, presumably, and the fact that you're not going to be in London as well? I guess a bit of extra pressure from both sides because of that.
don't know, it would have been great. I was really looking forward to, me and the team were really looking forward to performing in front of our nation, you know, in the capital, and me being from London, Ken, you know, performing in front of our friends and stuff. But that's not going to happen now. And we just have to get on with it. I don't think it adds more pressure. I think we're used to it now. We just get on, and we've prepared the best we can. So, you know, we are some of the best athletes in the world, and we'll just go out there and perform.
You've competed at the European Games and the Commonwealths. How big a deal would it be for you to go to the Olympics? I mean, that's the ultimate, isn't it?
I've never been to an Olympics before. The European Games was amazing, and the Commonwealth Games, wow. But the boys that have been to the Olympics have told me it's on another level. So it will be not only history in my family, it will just be life-changing.
Obviously, it's been delayed by an entire year. Has that benefited you at all? Are you feeling in pretty good shape ahead of the qualifying?
The delayed has caused a little bit of upset in the athletic world, but, you know, it's for safety reasons. So I think for some athletes who are prepared and have peaked, who needed to peak at the right time, it would have affected them. And, you know, you have to take age as a part of it. But for myself, no, I don't think so. I think, if anything, it's helped me sharpen the tools and add a little bit more to my artillery.
And what would it mean to the rest of the guys at Gravesham for you to make it? I'm assuming you haven't been able to catch up with many of them over the past year or so.
No, it's been a little bit, you know, just like for everybody else. We haven't been able to see each other, just on maybe Zoom calls, et cetera, but I think, you know, my friends and the coaches will be over the moon for me to achieve a medal in Tokyo.
How important is it for you not only to represent Team GB, but to be representing your home county of Kent as well?
You know, I'm not sure how many athletes from Kent have been to an Olympics, but it will be great. It will be great to put my name on that roster somewhere. You know, it would be great. And, you know, doing my family pride and making history, being the first Gravesham Olympic boxer.
Well, the Games in Tokyo will start on Friday, July the 23rd, and end on Sunday, August the 8th. More than 11,000 athletes are due to compete in over 30 sports, with 206 nations expected to attend. We will bring you more on the Kent athletes who will be joining them as the countdown continues.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a man who stabbed a stranger after turning up at their home in Stroud has been jailed for 7.5 years. 34-year-old Tommy Powell from Ansell Avenue in Chatham lashed out when he was asked what he was doing at the property in June last year. Police have described the assault as savage. It left the victim with a chest wound. The High Court's heard claims that housing asylum seekers at Napier Barracks in Folkestone was a breach of their human rights. Six former residents are taking legal action against the Home Office, and their lawyers say the site is unsafe and entirely unsuitable. Almost 200 men caught coronavirus during an outbreak at the barracks earlier this year, but the government insist they haven't broken the law. The hearing's due to last until tomorrow afternoon, and it's expected the judge's ruling will be reserved to a later date. Three men have been arrested after police found drugs, a stolen vehicle and an illegal bar on the Medway City estate. A number of workers and two young children are said to have been discovered living in unsuitable conditions following raids on three metal businesses in Stroud. Nine warnings have been issued to the businesses and the suspects released while inquiries continue. At Kent Online today, you can see pictures of rubbish that's been dumped near a brand new park in Canterbury. The 11-acre Legacy Park has been created at the former Howe Barracks to provide a natural space for people and wildlife. The fly tipping has been branded a disgrace. The land is actually owned by a local authority in London, and they say they're taking steps to deal with it. Walk-in appointments at Medway's Mass Coronavirus Vaccination Centre have been cancelled at the last minute. Anyone aged over 50 was invited to turn up to the Pentagon in Chatham and wait in line to get their first jab today or tomorrow. That offer's now been withdrawn. We're told all the slots have been taken up by over 45s who are now able to book through the NHS website.
The Kent Online Podcast with Serenity Parks.
Next today, and it's the phenomenon taking the art world by storm. But would you pay thousands for something like a tweet or a meme? Well, art experts in Kent have been having their say on NFTs. They're tokens that prove digital files are unique and are being snapped up for silly money. The founder of Twitter just auctioned off his first ever tweet for more than £2 million. First up, we've been chatting to Miles Corley, who is a gallery director from Deal.
It's not my area of speciality, but they could be amazing investments, really, if in history things are changing. Then, like the first tweet that was bought the other day, it will be interesting to see how that accumulates in value. And I'd be fairly confident to say it would be. People are buying ideas, but artists have always, or many of them have worked with artists. I mean, Carl Andre, great American sculptor, most famously did a pile of bricks, 3x3x3x3 standard bricks on the floor. I don't know how much it's worth now, many millions of pounds. It's a piece of, you know, art history. But it's still an idea, you know, the actual person who's bought that, they're not just buying bricks on the floor, which is of course what it is in material terms, but it's an idea, it's a part of his life. You could even bring it quite more modern into Tracy Emin and her bed in the 90s. You're not just buying a bed. So I think what the NFT thing is possibly coining into, or what it's developing, is this idea of people owning ideas. And whether it's cyber or a real thing, I don't know if that matters to the person, if you're in the financial position to afford to do that. Throughout history, just art history, the idea of owning the real thing is a huge thrill. To know you're owning a part of someone's creative process, you know, even if it's a meme you're buying, that memes will in time have their own little footnote in art history. And a meme is a cyber thing, and people would want to own the original, whichever one it was. But at the end of the day, and I hate to use a cliche, you can't hang an NFT above your fireplace, and you can't sit and share that with your family and friends and have a real piece of artistic response from someone from whatever period, and invite something into your home that sits with you from Christmases to birthdays, and is a part of your life. That is something which you can't buy online in a cyber form. To me, I don't think it doesn't feel real. It's not a tangible thing. So, certainly from a business point of view, from an art point of view, I wouldn't go there.
Rudolf Kermers is a photographer based in Canterbury. He's also been telling the Kent Online podcast what he thinks.
You had the advent of digital cameras, and then with the advent of the internet and digital sharing, suddenly everybody could share photos, and they were no longer prized objects made in dark rooms or by specialty labs. Pretty much anybody, literally anybody, can make photos and does make photos. And that created a bit of a conundrum for photography as when it comes to the photography art scene. It kind of devalued it in the eyes of a lot of customers, because if everybody can make a photo and if there are so many of it, what's special about it? So that made it harder to earn anything as an art photographer. But the other one is that copies of work could just spread throughout the internet with no effort whatsoever. And what NFTs do is they make it possible for the photographer to say, this is an original, but is the digital equivalent of when I send you a print. I can sign it and send it to you. Now, you have that object, and if you think about it, it's kind of weird. It's just a print. I didn't make it in the darkroom. And you can just photocopy it or use a more advanced method. You can scan it with a high-end scanner, including with my signature on it. And then what's the difference? So they pretty much look the same, right? The only reason why it's worth something is I, as the author of the piece, have authenticated it formally. And that's an amazing new thing that can now happen with digital media, which couldn't really happen before. So now I can say, well, I'm going to print digitally a photo. I'm going to make an edition of one. I can make a printing of 10, 10 out of 10. That's fine as well. NFTs leave that up to the author, or even infinite. But let's say, for the sake of argument, it's one. And putting it up as an NFT, putting it on the blockchain, makes sure that its origin, its provenance is recorded. And then you and me, we can agree and prove ownership and sale. So now you have basically the equivalent of an original artwork, just in a digital shape. It's unstoppable now. This is not a fad. It's only just beginning, and it's going to get everywhere.
Bit embarrassing, this one, for a driver. A car's been left trapped in midair after getting stuck on an anti-terror bollard in Canterbury city centre. The driver had tried to follow another vehicle which had permission to enter the area in Burgate, but the barriers rose up while they were going over them. You can see a picture at Kent Online. The car has now been freed, and we're told it wasn't badly damaged. 19 pet mice have been found abandoned in a box at a well-known fly tipping spot in Maidstone. They were dumped in an area of woodland at the junction between Boxley Road and Sandy Lane. A dog walker found them and called the RSPCA, who are now looking after the animals. A popular paddling pool could start charging £2 per child, despite being free for decades. A new lease has been agreed with the company that manages Woolmer Paddling Pool on the seafront. Some have criticised the idea, saying it'll make it too expensive for poorer families to have a day out. You can let us know what you think by voting in our poll today at Kent Online. Data seen by the podcast has revealed who in Kent is paying the most for their garden waste to be collected. The cost of a brown bin and annual charge in Dartford is the highest at £90, while in Medway it's all completely free. You can find out the prices for where you live and leave a comment on the story on the website. And a Kent secondary school's planning to ditch classrooms, which bosses say reach intolerably high temperatures, of, would you believe, a sweltering 38 degrees. Ursuline College in Westgate wants to replace the existing ICT suites in the dilapidated St Cecilia building with a block of three cooler rooms. Each would hold 35 pupils, and a storage building would also be knocked down to make way for the modern block.
Kent Online Sport.
One final bit of sport today. In football, Gillingham have slipped a bit further away from the League One playoff places after some of their rivals were in action last night. The Gills are still 10th in the table, but are now 6 points off the top six. They're travelling to Oxford United at the weekend with just 5 games of the season to go. Well, that's all for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. You can also subscribe to the IM News app, which will give you access to all KM Group newspapers. Just head to subsaver.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
This podcast is sponsored by Kingsdown Meadow, located in beautiful Kent countryside. New homes available. Search Serenity Parks.